Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thank you so much for being with us. This is edition 213. And on the broadcast today, I am going to be featuring a conversation that I had with the Palestinian musician Gina. Her project is by GR, and it is excellent. And it mixes more meditative music and electronic. I wanted to feature a series of conversations with Palestinian artists at this time. It's very important, I think, to create some listening opportunities for people to hear both the work of Palestinian musicians and artists, but also to hear their perspectives. And I spoke with Gina about her work, her reflections on the voices of Palestinian artists around the world, who over the last months, in the context of the genocidal Israeli government actions in Gaza, Palestine, have been speaking up in a number of ways, both on the streets, at protests, but also through art, through music, and expressing Palestinian existence, essentially, through their artwork. And at a time where we can see the state policies of the Israeli government, strongly backed by some of the most powerful military, economic, and political forces in the world, attempting to erase Palestinian life, these moments, I think, are very important ones to listen to the affirmation of Palestinian life through the arts. So it was really great to speak with Gina about her work, and here's our conversation. Great. So I think first, just to start, you could introduce yourself and share a little bit about your musical practice and also its connection to Palestine. Just sort of a brief introduction, where you're at and a little bit about what you do.
So I'm a Palestinian musician living in diaspora. My music, it's been a complete full journey, I'll be honest with you. So I lived in different places growing up. I moved around a lot. I changed different culture settings a lot. So I was living in the Middle East for 10 years, but I was born in Canada. I hopped around cities in Canada, and then I ended up moving to the US and then moving to Europe. So I've been exposed to so much. And I think what it's always come down to is to connect with my inner heritage and my inner, my background and what everyone has been going through as a Palestinian, and bringing that into my sound. So I think the tracks you've heard, the first album that I released was Siren, and a lot of that was inspired by bringing a Middle Eastern rhythm to it. But unfortunately, I feel like it got misunderstood because it was trending with what was happening in the music industry in Tulum. So it was seen as like Oriental and very much less Middle Eastern. But in my experience, like creating the album and everything, I wanted to have it describe my full background as a Middle Eastern artist. From there, I think I just started to experiment even more and how I can tell my story through sound without just only using Middle Eastern sounds, but just using different soundscapes and settings. And yeah, like rather than focusing on the instruments, just using different soundscapes. And that's when I started experimenting a lot with recording. And you mentioned earlier you wanted people to record the protests or their surroundings and what's happening. And I think that's what I was really drawn to, is exploring different sounds of the places that I've lived in and how they've affected my journey as a musician, especially living in the Middle East. And my mom is also based in Jordan, so whenever I'd go visit, I would just go up to her roof and just sit and just take in all the sounds of like the surroundings, like the nature, everything, like what it means to be Palestinian through sound, if that makes sense in a way. Growing up, my dad influenced me heavily when it came to music. He was born in 1948. He was in Sarafan, which is a town outside of Jaffa, and he was exiled, and they moved down to Gaza, and they went through the first Nakba, everything, and then they he made his way out to Egypt, and then he flew out to the Middle East, to Kuwait, and then he moved around as a lot as well. So I think seeing his perspective on sound as well has influenced me a lot, because he picked up on different sounds from wherever he ended up traveling to or moving to. And I think just seeing that in my household has always been influential. It was surrounded me all the time. And it became part of my daily life, like how sound has, how would I put this into words? How sound has become a natural rhythm, basically, of how I want to set the tone of the household, or my daily routine, or the story you want to tell. And my dad always, I would come back from school, my dad would always be playing oud or guitar, or he picked up these instruments all from the different places that he's been living in or traveled to. But he always played everything by ear. So it was all very natural to him, and it came naturally to him. And I feel like I picked that up from him a lot. And I think he told his story through the sounds and the rhythms that he would play using these instruments. It made me more curious about the power of sound, and how it could affect someone, or how it could share someone's lens, their perspective on life. And that's when I started exploring sound therapy, because I wanted to dive deeper into it and understand the science behind sound. And that's when it became really fun, and my love for sound grew profoundly after that. And I started incorporating that into my sound journey, and I started facilitating sound meditations. But I would still use the oriental sounds that I was exposed to growing up. So just like the strings of the oud and the different instruments like the sitar and the monochord, I would just incorporate that into my sound to give people more of that, like, connection with being Palestinian or my heritage, to understand that this is the type of sonic experience I want to offer. And it made me fall in love with sound all over again. And I think also doing sets for Raj Al Hara and talking to Yas and all of the different people involved in it, seeing that there's other people that I connect with. I think being in the music industry also has been really difficult as a Palestinian, because when you're in diaspora, you're just moving around all the time. You feel like you don't fit in anywhere, and you're supposed to make home out of wherever you are. But I found it very difficult within the music industry, because I couldn't find a community that understood what kind of story I was trying to give as a sonic experience. And I feel like finding Raj Al Hara and finding that community has been really, really helpful to be able to share the story with like-minded people.
Respect. Okay, thanks for sharing all that. I mean, when we hear a bit about your journey as an artist, many, many reflections come to mind, but one of them is that you're in exile and you've found this artistic voice through a lot of struggle and experimentation and, you know, relationships to different places. And if you can maybe share a little bit about, like, the fact that right now, I mean, we're talking about this massive attack on Gaza. There's many young artists who are young people who will never get the chance to be an artist, right? And I think often that sort of situation is so, people are so dehumanized that, you know, we forget to think about, I mean, not the people who are involved in this broadcast, but like the narratives in the West remove the humanity and the dreams and the ideas and the creativity of people who are losing their lives right now.
I think about that all the time, actually, how there's a voice missing for them. And I think it's important for the people who are Palestinian living outside, who are able to offer their voice, to be also a voice for those creatives there as well. I know that a visual artist passed away in Gaza, and she was really well known within the Gaza community. And I see her art everywhere now, and people are giving her the exposure that she should have gotten. But I do feel like being an artist, being a Palestinian artist, I definitely do feel like we have a responsibility to give our voice to those who can't within our community, within the Palestinian community in Palestine, sorry. And when I look at a child in Palestine, I do feel like these kids should have their dreams come true. These kids should have the opportunity. These kids should have their voices heard. They should be able to have a chance, you know? And yeah, I think it's just, it's unfortunate what's happening right now. It's really, really, really devastating. And I have mixed feelings about it. I think because there's some artists who are living outside of Palestine right now who are creating the focal point on them rather than putting the focus on the artists that are there right now struggling and going through this genocide. And I've seen it a lot where it just gets, situations get taken advantage of rather than giving people the chance to have their voice be heard within the industry.
When we think about what's happening now, this broadcast is about hearing people all over the world express their support for Palestinian human rights, and also to hear from Palestinian artists all over the place. I guess I would just ask a question, you know, which I think we're all thinking about, which is, you know, why and how can we raise our voices? Because I think the onslaught of violence makes people feel like it's hopeless, right? But we do see that it's very important at the same time for people to speak up. Any reflections on that?
Yeah, I think definitely giving the voice to the Palestinian artists within the community, or any creative, in fact, not just musician or anyone in Palestine right now, just giving them a voice to share what they have to say and what they're experiencing. I think it is really, my brain is completely just like, I don't know why. Like what you're doing and what Radio Al-Fara is doing is really, really amazing, because it is bringing those voices for people around the world to listen to.
You shared a bit about your journey, and I'm wondering if, if you could just talk a little bit more about, you talked about the importance of Palestinians also gathering together and hearing the sounds together. I mean, like, of, you know, points of origin and sort of like spaces for, gathering, right? And to be together in these very difficult times. If you could just talk a bit more about why that's important for you as an artist.
I think it's important because we've gone through this for 75 years of just watching people getting slaughtered and watching people being mistreated and just going through a living hell for the past 75 years. And there's been a lack of awareness, and there's also been this censorship. There's been this immense censorship on not being able to talk about anything. I think also I lived in LA for a brief moment, and I remember just being surrounded within the music industry, and everyone was Israeli. So I looked around and I was like, this is not going to end well. This is not going to work well. And I think now with the awareness and people speaking up more and people educating themselves a lot more around the world, it is hopeful that there is a space for Palestinian artists to from Palestine as well, not just in diaspora, but for them to have a voice of their own to speak up, especially with journalists like Montez and Fassia, and watching them give their all and their full courage and bravery to express how they're feeling and exposing what's actually happening, exposing the truth to everyone. I think it makes us feel hopeful that there is a chance for for them to be heard. Because being Palestinian Canadian, there is a higher chance for me to be heard versus them, and this is a privilege that we have. And I feel like what's happening now is very different compared to any of the other times because it's always been shut down. There's always been censorship. It's always been not heard. It's like screaming into a black hole and no one's listening, no one's answering. So I think it is revolutionary, I would say. It's definitely revolutionary for creatives and for the next stage of what's to come next. And yeah, I really, really do hope that people just keep educating themselves and just keep learning and unlearning and decondition what they've conditioned to, Free Palestine.
And when you say, when you're talking about what's happening now, what's meaningful to you of what's happening now?
I think it's a combination of things because I do have family in Gaza right now, and I do have relatives and family friends that are there currently. And what's important to me right now is obviously to get a ceasefire and for them to stop. And to set them free and for them at first when I first found out about the what had just happened, the invasion, at first I was really sad. I was unable to speak properly. I still can't speak properly. But it really, really affected me. But I think now it's more anger, like enough is enough. And they've been going through this for so long. And I think it's just like someone needs to do something in terms of just ending this once and for all. And I think I don't know how it's gonna look. I don't know how it's gonna turn out, but I also do feel like what I would want for the Palestinians is not up to me. I think it's up to the Palestinians living in Palestine right now. Either they want a one state solution or if they want bring back Palestine. I feel like people who are living there should be heard a lot more than the Palestinians living in diaspora. People living in diaspora, that's just my opinion though. But I feel like the Palestinians living in diaspora would be able to support their decision making no matter what. Being there right now and supporting and sharing and bringing awareness and teaching and protesting and stopping, like just stopping as much as we can. Yeah, just trying our best, honestly, more than our best to just make this stop.
Do you want to share a little bit to end a bit about your music? I've heard it. It's really good. And, we'll play some of it on this broadcast. But just like, you're sort of, you're out there. There's vocals, electronic layers. Just share a little bit about what you do.
So I mainly create electronic music. And I create a lot of experimental sounds using drone work, using synthesizers. And I also combine my vocals at times. A lot of my work is very experimental, but there's always an element of therapy within it. So I take certain sound frequencies. I've used sound frequencies from outer space to incorporate into my work to give people a astral experience for them to meditate to or to just lose themselves into. And I'm working towards creating a live show so that it's not all played through the DJ decks anymore. And then I also do sound therapy, and with sound therapy, I have my own technique of creating combining electronic sounds and acoustic instruments all perform live together. And yeah, basically, that's my technique. A little bit about it.